Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, No Body, No Ministry. The world teaches that you are nothing more than a physical body and that the brain contains all your talents. In contrast, the Bible teaches that you are triune, just like God. There is a silver cord which acts as a bridge from the physical world to the spirit world. People in the occult are aware of this concept to have out-of-body experiences through astral projection. The soul is the real person which lives and operates within the physical body. Self-awareness, thinking, communication, and emotions all originate within the spirit world. The soul brain is the silver cord acting as a bridge from the spirit world to the physical world. The emotions we experience manifest as spiritual energy which then flows into the physical body. Demons can use negative emotions to cause sickness within the physical body. Jesus affirmed this truth when he stated that the physical body merely expresses what the soul is feeling. This message is entitled, The Silver Cord. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And today, I'm going to be speaking about the silver cord. It will be titled, The Message. And this is going to be a deeper message than normally I usually do. And so, let's just pray right now. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, praise you right now for helping me to do this message, Lord. And I praise you now for your Holy Spirit ministering to me and minister through me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have a Bible and you want to turn to Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. Wherever the silver cord be loosed, will the golden bowl be broken, will the pitcher be broken at the fountain, will the wheel broken as a cistern? Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Now, this is written by King Solomon that wrote this about 3,000 years ago. And he had wisdom, understanding, that we have a soul and we have a physical body. Most of us, over the years, we act like we are only physical beings. And I would like to begin to help you today to begin to, instead of being a turkey walking, that you become an eagle where you'll be able to soar. Because we really are spirit beings in a physical body. There is a connection. Now, the spirit world and the physical world are two different dimensions. And normally we slide through them. They are not solid to one another. But there is one place in each human being where the spirit world and the physical world is connected, and that is between our physical brain and the soul brain. Where it is located, we don't know. But we do know that we have a solid contact. King Solomon called it the silver cord. People in the occult talk about the silver cord. When they do astral projection, they say, don't go too far. If it breaks, you can't come back in your body, which is done by demonic powers. But I want you to think about right now that you are a spirit being in a physical body. Jesus, when he walked on this earth, by the way, Jesus does not have a birthday. That is a big fat lie. Jesus has always existed. Jesus is God. Jesus came down to earth, and Mary gave him a physical body, flesh and bones. The Holy Spirit gave him the blood. And Jesus walked around in a physical body, but he is a spirit being. And I'm just going to touch on this, memorize it now, that Jesus said that you will do greater things than I have done because I go to my Father. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. We've read that. We don't believe it. We don't work it. But we are spirit beings that have the capacity with our soul and spirit to begin to move in the spirit world, because the spirit world moves the physical. So there's power in the spirit world. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. That's Matthew chapter 15. And we're going to look in verse number 15. Matthew 15:15. Let me say one more thing, because I want you to think about that. Jesus is God. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was on earth, the Father was in heaven. Jesus was here. The Holy Spirit communicated between the two of them. But God really is one. And at the end, after the great white throne judgment, this creation has been destroyed. We had moved to a new one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit will come together in full power, and he's not going to divide himself up like he has done. That's what he says in Revelation. And then we shall see the Father himself, because right now the Father in full power is too powerful, cannot enter into the physical world, cannot do anything for us. So he had to limit himself. His only begotten Son, the Bible says, he came down to us and walked. Now, when Jesus was up on the cross, I want you to understand this now. The suffering was through the body. Now, Jesus was connected with his physical body, with a brain, which meant that he could feel all the pain, all the sin that was laid upon him, he could feel that. And he suffered on the cross for 3 hours. It was there he paid for our sins. When he finally had paid it all, he said, "It is finished." He gave up the ghost, and he left his body on the cross. Jesus never died. His body did. Jesus has always existed. Jesus always will exist through God. He is eternal. On the third day, the Holy Spirit came, resurrected his body that had been bruised and battered, refurbished it, and Jesus moved into his body again and came out of the grave with a resurrected body that now he took with him to heaven. The same type of body that you and I will get. In Matthew 15:15, we read this. Then answered Peter and said to him, "Declare unto us this parable." And Jesus said, "Are you also yet without understanding? Do you not understand that whatsoever enters into the mouth goes into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, And when the Bible talks about a heart, that is a soul. And they defile the man. For out of the heart, out of the soul, proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defiles not a man. Your physical body is not good. It is not bad. It is neutral. We got to understand that. If I lay my hand down here like this, it has no personality. It just lays there. It is when my soul and spirit begin to move it that this has a personality. So your body is not good, it's not bad, it is neutral. Just like a car. To those of you sitting in the chapel here today, you drove up in your cars, and you park them outside. Right now, these cars are dead. They're not moving out there. They're not doing anything. They're just sitting there, waiting for the driver to come back, the owner. The moment you turn the key onto your car, and you fired it up, that car now is alive, and it has your personality. We just had this morning or earlier or late last night a road rage in Florida where somebody got really angry, pulled out a gun, and just pumped shots into the guy next door that were driving down the freeway. They survived. That is a bad driver. Now he's driving a Toyota Camry. That is to mean that all Toyota Camrys are bad. That car is not bad. It had a bad driver. So remember this now. You are driving around on this earth, first in your physical body, then you have vehicles. Some people can fly, have airplanes, and so on. But I'm going to talk about your body right now. Your body is an expression of you. But those things that proceed out of the mouth come forth from the soul, and they defile the man. But in other words, what's in my soul comes out through my mouth. That is what defiles. That's why we should learn to speak positive, uplifting, and not speaking negative. Let's talk about the spirit world right now. Self-awareness, thinking, talking, communicating, and expressing emotions all originate in the spirit world. Animals do not think. They react. They are pre-programmed. They have a computer in them. You have animals that are bigger, got a bigger size computer. Even a little mosquito got a chip in it. And that mosquito cannot think, but it's programmed to fly around. It has sensors. They sense heat. And they go to heat, and they stick their thing in to get blood, food for them. So, animals cannot think. They do react. Now, I want you to really pay attention here today. You have the capacity to sit down and to think things out. If you're going to build something, you can say, well, you can sit and think, okay, we got to get some 2x4, 2x6s. I need some screws. I need this. And in your mind, you're thinking and you're building a house and you're building something. Or you might sit and think, you know what, I'm going to write. You're creating things. That is a gift from God. We are created in the image of God. God thanks. We thank. Angels can think. Animals cannot think. They react. Turn to Proverbs chapter 23. That is Proverbs chapter 23. And this is a process that we all have. And it says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As a person thinks in his soul, so he is. Before you start any project, the first thing that happens is a thought. Somebody speaks to you and say, have you thought about buying a bicycle? Have you thought about planting a tree? Or you simply think yourself. Everything starts with a thought. Once you have the thought, you begin to process it. Now you begin to talk about it. I think, you know, we're gonna build a little house here, whatever it is. And you begin to talk about it. As you're thinking, as you're talking, you are not creating. You're doing things in the spirit world. And then you take action to it. And eventually, the project will be finished. That's a gift that God has given us. It's called a creative gift. Animals do not have that. So remember this. As you think, so you are. Let me now divide it up into two lines, like you have on a railroad track. You got two lines there. You got tracks on this side and that side. Satan knows this. And what the demons do is, because he is his demons, they simply move in and they hijack your thinking capacity. So their favorite trick is to put a line into your soul brain and to begin to shoot in thoughts that are not yours. But they want to make it so clever that you think, oh, am I that bad? How can I think that? You did not think that. That was a demon that simply interfered and put a thought into your soul brain. If you are smart, you recognize that's not me. And you reject it. And you break it and destroy it. But most of us do not understand that. So what we do is, we say, oh, we feel guilty. That's another demon. And once they got you feel guilty, and you take ownership of their garbage, now they got you spinning. Because once you think you are bad, you're going to lose power. You're not going to be cheerful. You're not going to be projecting positive things. You're going to be crippled. So I want to talk more about that later on here in the message today. This is the introduction. So you heard a word saying, you are what you eat. That's a proverb. It's also true that you are on the outside, but you're on the inside. Whatever you think, so you are. Let me take it to Isaiah now, chapter 55. So we got to understand now that we have the gift of thinking, but our thinking is not in the same class as God's. God is omnipotent, all-powerful, and so God can see all things as he thinks, and he can simply put it all together. Now, he doesn't make mistakes. Why do we make mistakes? Because we do not count the cost of times. We do not know how to think things out. Now, my grandmother used to say this, son, what you don't have up here, you got to have it in your legs. And that's true. We forget things. We don't do things right. So what do we have to do? We have to redo it, do it over again, and so on. And probably, I'll give you an example. A couple of weeks ago, I was asked to go to the bank and put in a deposit for the ministry. I was stressed because I had a number of other things to do. I had some my personal thing to deposit to. So I run around and just run around. I got to hurry, you know, ducked in the car. Got down to the bank 10 minutes before they closed. Looked down, and there the deposit bag was not there. And I looked, and I realized because the blue bag is a blue bag, bank bag, it was not there. Normally, in the early years, I would have had a few choice words. I would have screamed and hollered. I would have said, I just explode. And I realized, okay, you don't have it. You made this trip for nothing. You drove like an idiot for nothing. Here you are for nothing. You might as well go home for nothing. So I went back home. I simply says, oh, well, what I don't have up here, I got to have in my legs. So driving home, the demon said, you know what you did? You put it on top of the car, and you dropped it someplace. Drive home. No, I did not do that. I did not do that. Drove in the garage. In my box outside, there was the blue bag. I said, thank you, Jesus. There's another day. At least I didn't lose the cash or the money for the ministry. So remember this now. We do not think things out well at times. And it is so easy when we don't think about our resources, how are our supply lines? Do we have enough supplies? One of the main reasons that Germany lost the war against the Soviet Union was that Adolf Hitler was stupid. He did not think. He simply was going to do this war by himself. He pushed the Germans aside. And he wanted to go as far as he could before the winter came. That was not very smart. Because they went so far, they went to Moscow, they went almost down to the Black Sea. And when the winter come, their supply lines were not there. They couldn't get the supplies up. That's when he started losing, and eventually he lost the war. So what you need to do is, Jesus said this, before a man builds a house, he sits down and calculates, do I have enough to build this house before he starts? Or if a king goes to war, he thinks about how many enemies. How many soldiers the enemy have? How many do I have? And if you don't have enough, he's negotiating a peace. You simply need to calculate the cost. In Isaiah chapter 55, we read this. God said this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So God is simply saying this, I've given you the capacity to think, but since you're mortal, you're limited, You need my wisdom. We need the Holy Spirit wisdom in every decision that we make. Now I'm going to give you a bonus scripture here, and this is from 1 Corinthians. I just got that scripture right now. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we want to read from verses number 7 through 8. Satan is wise. He has wisdom. But he's stupid. He's limited. When Satan saw Jesus coming down to this earth and entering the little body, actually the cell that was in Mary's womb, he said, God is going to do something, a redemption plan. I'm going to take care of that. He said, I will have Jesus killed. So he sent his emissaries to Herod, King Herod, and whispered in King Herod, you know there's a Messiah coming? And if the Messiah is coming, you're not going to be king any longer. You're going to lose your seat. So when the wise man came and said to Herod, where is the king that is born? He really got upset. And in his mind, he said, I got to take care of that. He told the wise man this, when you find the Messiah, the king, come and tell me so I can go and worship. He was going to worship. He was going to go and kill him. And when the wise man did not come back, he simply realized he'd been double-crossed. He sent on soldiers to figure the time. He said, kill every male boy 2 years and under to make sure he got the Messiah. Well, God had him spirited out to Egypt in the meantime. So Satan tried a number of different things. He tried to tempt Jesus, saying, if I give you all of this thing, all you have to do is to worship him once. And then finally, Satan said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to have him crucified. I'm going to kill him. That will finish it. 1 Corinthians 2, 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. When Jesus rose from the grave, his body rose up again. Satan said, when they think of that, he blew it. All the fallen angels, all the demons, looking at him and saying, you blew it again, idiot. And he's a loser. He's headed for the lake of fire. But he wants to take as many of us as possible with him. And those of us that are saved, the only thing he can do for us or against us is to make our life miserable and to make us upset so we lose our rewards in eternity. But let's go back now to Isaiah 55. For my thoughts are not your thought, neither are my ways your ways, is the Lord. For as the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So God simply said this, think and ask me to guide you. Now turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Have you noticed this, that your emotions play a big role in your life? And we are emotional beings, and the demons play us like a piano. I mean, they know how to play our emotions. So we have been given a gift of speaking, which has creative power. Matthew 12 36. We read this. Let me get to that chapter. Here we go. Jesus said, "But I say to you that every idle word that man speak, they should give account thereof for the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned." When you speak, there are holy angels, there are fallen angels and demons and Satan here, and your words are heard in both sectors. If you speak faith, you speak positive, it will be carried out by the angels, by the Holy Spirit. If you speak negative, it will be carried out by the demons, by the fallen angels. They will do the job. So when we speak, you might say, "Well, I'm just mumbling over here." No, you might well understand you're speaking in a loudspeaker. I mean, it's clear in the spirit world. So the devil likes to have you upset. Have you noticed this? If you don't get your way, or something annoys you, you get angry. And when you get angry, you get negative, and it ruins your day. And you're in a foul mood. And you know, when you're in a foul mood, your stomach is not doing too well. And you don't feel that good. So we need to learn that when we speak, it carries power. Whatever we speak will be carried out either by angels or by fallen angels or the demons. Animals cannot speak. You can teach a parrot to say certain words, but it's just like repetition. It's just like you have a robot. You can program a robot to speak and to recognize certain words, but it doesn't understand them. It's just a repetition. Let's now turn to Proverbs 23. Proverbs chapter 23. And I want to talk about alcohol and drugs. So you and I are spirit beings. We have a soul brain. We have a physical brain. And in order for my soul brain to communicate on this earth, I need my physical brain to be in good shape. If you drive your car and your transmission is not working properly, it doesn't matter how much gas you give the engine. You can rev it up, you know, to 5,000 RPM. You ain't going anyplace because your transmission is out. If you are working on the computer and the electricity goes out, it doesn't matter how good computer, it doesn't matter how much money you paid for it, you're not going to do anything with it. So this is closing now. You can only work as long as your equipment works. As long as your equipment works, if it is your phone, if it is a computer, if it's a car, if it is a tool, whatever it is, it only works, you can only work it, if it functions properly. Right? Now, so you're very careful. You put the right stuff in the transmission, different oil in the crankcase. You make sure that you have antifreeze in your radiator. And, you know, there are certain things that you make sure, because you want the equipment to work. Now, let's talk about the brain. The brain now, the physical brain, is an equipment. And so the demonic world knows this. If you can mess up, they can mess up a physical brain. It doesn't matter how smart your soul brain is, you're going to be an idiot. Let's read Proverbs 23. Who is woe? who has sorrow, who has contentions, who has babbling, who has wounds without cause, who has redness of eyes. They that tarry long at the wine, they that go seek mixed wine. Look not you upon the wine when it's red, when it gives his color in a cup, when it moves itself aright. At the last it bites like a serpent, and it stings like an adder or a snake. Drugs, alcohol is a drug. But isn't it strange that entertainment to human beings is to incapacitate your physical brain? You destroy your equipment to think properly, to do things right. And the demons say, have another drink. Shoot another one up. Pop another pill. Your eyes shall behold strange women. And your heart shall utter perverse things. Isn't that what happens when people get plastered? Yea, you shall be as he that lies down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lies upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shall you say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. How many people have you seen with a hangover? I mean, they after they've been drinking for a while, you know, they hang over, the eyes are bulging out, they're vomiting, you know, they're sick like dogs. And, you know, they're going to go back and drink again. And again. And again. It's insanity. So what we need to do is this. You need to guard your physical brain. Now, if the devil cannot make you drink or take drugs, he would use other things. He would have you eat food that you're not supposed to eat, that God said do not eat. And you begin to clog your arteries. You begin to do damage. And you're thinking, you're coming down with dementia, you come down with all kind of things in the end times of your life. Can't remember, can't think clearly, can't do things like you used to do. And, you know, you wonder, well, there's nothing wrong with your soul brain. It's your brain, physical brain, that has got damaged. God made us in his image. I'm not going to read Genesis 1, 26, 27 today. But let me read this to you. Animals, birds, fish, insects, and reptiles, all have physical brains. We control our behavior. A mosquito has a very small brain compared to an elephant. Regardless of their brain size, they have one thing in common. None of them have the ability to think independently. The animal kingdom is pre-programmed when you come to eating, procreating, and finding a dwelling place. It's programmed. Think about this. Take a bird like a swallow. And then take a bird like a sparrow. They do not make the same type of nest. Swallows do theirs out of clay, dirt. And the others use the sticks and other things. Do we have classes? Do God have classes for birds and say, now, I'm going to teach you how to build a nest? It's in their DNA. A bird would simply know that I am a swallow. As a swallow, this is how I make my nest. You take the birds that fly north in the summertime. Migrant birds. Geese. These birds always go to the same place. And they always come back to the same place. How do they know that? They are programmed like a clockwork. But you and I are not programmed. We have a free will. More complex animals can express love, hate, fear, anger. You have a dog, he can show you love, he can show this and that. but he's simply responding to you. We can tame certain animals, but not all animals. The physical world does not possess any life. It merely consists of lifeless matter that is governed by the mechanical laws and controlled by Jesus, who projects energy to uphold all things. Turn with me to Hebrews 1. That is Hebrews, the first chapter. I can see right now that I got more sermon than I got time today. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, that means in different ways, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in his last days spoken us by his Son, who is appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So God created matters. Think about this. This is a fantastic creation. So God simply said, I'm going to create one type, a prototype. Let's call it a golf ball, an atom. He said, I create, this is my, what I'm going to build with. You take two balls, now you got hydrogen. You keep adding balls, and you go from gas to material that is solid. Everything in this room is made by golf balls, atoms. Exactly the same thing. The only difference is that you have one ball, two ball, three ball, 10 balls, 15 balls. That makes different things. But everything is made by the same material, a golf ball, an atom. What is an atom? We don't know. We can see the number of electronics with our big electronic microscopes. We see the electrons. We see the protons. We know how they sit. But what are they? We do not know. But we do know this. They are raw energy. Energy that God simply made into solid material that one day will be dissolved, what the Bible talks about. So, as you look upon all these different things, the chairs you sit on here in the chapel, the computer or the screen that you look at the service and so on, it's all dead material, all dead matter. Doesn't have any life in it. It's in a physical world. But you are a spirit being in a physical world. I want to talk about damage of the soul now. Turn me to Proverbs again. And the soul is a very powerful thing. When you get angry, how do you drive? Not very good, right? You notice this? When you drive and you're angry or you're emotional, you don't drive very well. You're erratic. Hit the gas. Too much RPM. Brake fast, you know. What you're doing is you take out your emotions on your car. And the car is a dead thing, so it doesn't say anything. The same thing with the body. Emotions create spiritual energy, positive or negative, which flows into the physical body. The negative energy adversely affects the endocrine system in the body, which results in an increased heart rate, more acid in your stomach, loss of muscle power, and so on. Last week, my wife was out and out. I had a deadline. I had Omega Man Radio. I was very short of time. And my wife needed some things, and I tried to fit everything in the schedule. And I realized, you know, that I am running short of time. I didn't handle that myself that well that day. Instead of praying, I simply let the demons massage my emotions. And I got so upset, I left the store. And then I realized it's stupid to go to another store when I can buy it here. I save time, so I run back in the store and bought another thing. When I came out, my stomach on my left side was just in knots. I couldn't say anything to my wife because I caused it myself. I just drove home, suffered, and I said, you know, that's what you get for being upset. I mean, I created so much negative power that it just hit my stomach area. Got my intestines all curled up. Got home, prayed, drank some water, lay down. 5 minutes was gone. Emotions are powerful. Emotions will damage your body if they are negative. If they are positive, that would heal your body. Proverbs 14:30. A sound heart or a sound soul is a life out of flesh, but envy the ruttenness of the bones. Let's get this right now. You see, you never get sick first in your body that makes your soul sick. The soul gets sick, get disturbed, and then the body gets sick. Everything that happens to you happens to the soul first. It then reacts on the body. That's why the devil always attacks the soul. Now we're praying for Thomas in Sweden today. He's attacked with a cough, with fever, and so on. Something has happened to his soul. Something has attacked his soul. That's taken down his immune system. So we prayed for him, that God would bring him back up. But remember this, when you come down with a cold, it didn't start with a cold, it started with your soul. Some of you might say, well, I don't believe that. That's okay. You get that, I don't care. That's the way it is. If your soul is the happy camper, your immune system is 100%. And we are built to handle viruses, bacteria. We are built to kill them off. But when your endocrine system goes down, your immune system goes down, that's when they creep in. And the immune system is tied into the soul. Proverbs 15:13. I've read this many times. A merry heart, that means a happy heart, a glad heart, makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. When your soul is broken, it will affect everything in your life. Everything. 16:24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. What do you have in your bones? The bone marrow. What does the bone marrow do? It creates blood cells, white and red blood cells. That's your immune system. In the bones, every time you move a muscle, you squeeze blood into your bones. People sitting still, the bones are withering. So you need to exercise. When you move muscles, you push blood into your bones, circulating it back and forth. Pleasant words. I'm sure you know, there's been days I meet somebody and I get negative, just a blah. And you know, you go down, you say, oh man, you know, it become a drag. Or you meet somebody and say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, you know, God is good, I'm feeling good, you know, you look good today. You know, you get lifted up. You've had anyone come up to you in the morning and say, you look sick. You know, what's wrong with you? And you say, I look sick. And you're like, you know? And then, you know, you begin to feel sick. I tell people, you know, keep your sickness. Don't talk to me about it. Move on to, we're in 17:22 now. A merry heart is good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drags the bone. Again, if you want medicine, be happy. And then we read the last one in 18:8. The word of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down to the innermost parts of the belly. And then in 14, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? So emotions are very powerful, and they actually rule our lives. Let me turn, you've got a couple of minutes here. Let me turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew, the 6th chapter. There's one thing that God does not tolerate in his kingdom, and that is unforgiveness. In Matthew 6:9, we read this. I'm in Zechariah. 6:9. After this manner, therefore, pray you, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. We are to forgive. Forgiveness is an absolute must. Let's turn to Mark 11. A lot of people like that scripture, but they omit certain things out of it. Mark chapter 11. If you pick it up, in verse number 21. And Peter called into remembrance, said to him, Master, behold, a fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answered, said to them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed, you cast into the sea, shall undoubtedly his heart, but shall believe that the thing which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, what things ever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which in heaven may forgive you trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which in heaven forgive your trespasses. It doesn't matter how much faith you got. If there is unforgiveness in your life, nothing will move. It will be a dead stop. You must say, but I can't remember all the people I've hurt or whatever it is. I have unforgiveness toward. You can have a blanket, but you can ask God to show you. There are times when I dream. And in my dream, I see things of the past. And I realize I got a damage here. I got to pray over this. And I pray and ask God to heal my soul. If there's unforgiveness, I forgive. If people are dead, you just forgive them. If people, you can't find them, you forgive them. But you've got to forgive. Unforgiveness is a type of emotion. It is simple to us. It is pride. hurt and offense baked into one. I'm not going to take this. You cannot do this to me. I hate you. I will never forgive you for this. And God says, that is unacceptable. Because God has forgiven us of so much. He is a forgiving God. He demands that we must be forgiving creatures. So here's a good scripture. Jesus, therefore, said to you, whatever you desire when you pray, believe you receive, you shall have them. Yeah, we say, oh yeah, I believe that. Let's go for it. But at two more verses, we have to make sure we don't have unforgiveness. You can say to the mountain, be removed, and it will remove whatever mountain it is. But if you have unforgiveness, we're not going to go anyplace. So, some people says, you know, I don't care. I'm mad at God. I'm mad at myself. I'm mad at the world. I'm just mad. I'm angry. I can't forgive. But remember this. That's not you saying that. Those are the evil spirits sitting in your heart, in your soul, that are saying that. You are captive. You want to forgive. You want to release. You want to be forgiven. You can make a decision. I went through the things here with the scriptures. You can go home today and say, Father God, where am I in your kingdom? See, worship is one thing. Reading the Bible is another thing. Praying is another thing. Going to church is another thing. All of these things are good. But the component that holds everything up is forgiveness. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, you can worship till you're blue in your face. And God says, I will not hear that. I will not accept that. You got to surrender your soul first. You got to repent. This is as far as I could go today, so I'm going to continue to preach this sermon next week. Lord willing, creek won't rise and the sun is just right. I'll be back here. But I want you to think right now. How does this affect you? You can simply say, well, you know, I'm just going to keep on trucking, you know. Eventually, I'm going to make it home to heaven. Well, who wants to just keep trucking? Don't you want to have an abundant life? Don't you want to have everything that God has for you on this earth? There is more and more and much more. But the key is forgiveness. Understand your emotions and take control of your soul by the spirit that God has put in your heart. You listen to me right now, you're not saved, and you says, well, you know, how do I get into this program? Very simple. All you have to do is to ask God to forgive you of your sins. You know you're a sinner. You know you have lied and you hurt people and you've done things. And then simply say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross for me. I believe he rose on the third day. And I believe he would pay for my sins. Jesus, come on in. Father God, forgive me. And God forgive you, can be saved right now. When we finish here, Charles Duval is going to come. You're not going to see him, but you're going to hear his voice. And he's going to read some scriptures. He's going to pray with you, lead you in a very specific prayer to make sure that you can be saved today. Take that opportunity. To those of you that are saved, already walking with the Lord, you know we can always do better. And I want you to think about what I shared today. And simply said this, are you a physical being that has a spirit? Or are you a spirit housed in a physical being. Begin to assert your right as a spirit and begin to move in a spirit world so that the physical world will line up and you will have abundant life. It's possible. It's attainable. It's up to you if you want it. May God bless you, love you, and I hope that you will hear what I said today. Here's Brother Thomas.
Father God, thank you for this day, Lord, and for our many blessings. Thank you for the ability to hear and perceive and respond. And I thank you for that, Lord, that this message will go out and do the work that it is intended to do, and that is to bring abundant life in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the understanding and knowledge of the creation and the building blocks that are put in place. We thank you for our many blessings. We want to say especially that this has been a Thanksgiving weekend here in the United States of America, and we can reflect on the Christian culture that we were so blessed to be born into, the Western culture, which is based in Christianity, that is here in the United States of America, that is in Europe, and we ask that you would sustain that. We know there are enemies trying to tear down Western civilization and the Christian culture, and we uphold it to you to keep it strong. And also we want to lift up Judge Roy Moore and his election that is coming, that he will win by a landslide. And it will put all these people on notice, and the demons on notice, that that battle is over for them. We will see some changes happen in the United States Senate. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Give strength to Judge Roy Moore. Give him a resolve and give him joy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person, doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay. How did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean?
Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the fifth part in the series, No Body, No Ministry, and was entitled The Silver Cord. A secular education teaches that you are nothing more than a physical body and that the brain contains all your talents. In contrast, the Bible teaches that in addition to the body, we also have a soul and spirit. We are triune just like God, and there is a silver cord which acts as a bridge from the physical world to the spirit world. People in the occult are aware of this concept to have out-of-body experiences. The soul is the real person which lives and operates within the physical body. Self-awareness, thinking, communication, and emotions all originate within the spirit world. The soul brain of a man is the bridge from the spirit world to the physical world. The emotions we experience manifest as spiritual energy, which then flows into the physical body. Demons can use negative emotions to increase your heart rate, create too much acid in the stomach, cause skin disorders, strokes, and immune system disturbances. If you are what you eat, then it is also true that you are on the outside what you are on the inside. Jesus affirmed this truth when He said that the physical body merely expresses what the soul is feeling. So don't let jealousy, hate, worry, guilt, fear, unforgiveness, and other negative emotions ruin your life. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1627. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.